One of the most remarkable things about this text is that it shows Mary leaving her hometown, walking for 2.5 days to get down to Ein Kerem, just outside Jerusalem, to take care of her cousin, Elizabeth. She's not saying, the angel just told me that I'm now pregnant with the one who's going to rule over the house of Jacob forever. She goes someplace to help somebody, to be there and rejoice with her cousin who's going to have a son. Now, then, years later, without the same effort, she comes from heaven down to Mexico to talk to Juan Diego and to start to be, in a special way, you know, the protectress of this new world. Now, this is an illustration of something that St. Therese gave words to her. I will spend my heaven doing good on earth. Now, we call her the mediatrix of all graces. We call her, you know, the one who takes care of the world. Just think of this human being being that exalted, being that powerful, being that endowed. Huh? Now, you know, we're having trouble, we theologians, working this out, you know. And then we're saying, well, we got it, almost, you know, about mediatrix of all graces, but if we say anything, all the Protestants are going to run away from us. And Our Lady is saying, why don't you relax? You know, I can handle that. You know? There's lots of Protestant groups, you know, that say the rosary. More than a lot of Catholic groups. She's the patroness of the whole thing. Now, what I want to do for just a few minutes this morning is reflect on what does this mean, mediatrix. I'm going to do this because Our Lady told me twice and through two different people that I'm supposed to be working on this reality. Starts like this. I live, now not I, Christ lives in me. That's the secret of all intercession. You see, our idea of intercession is, you know, Jesus is here, and we're here, and between us is Mary trying to fix things up. What does that make Jesus? You know, and we have prayers badly expressed. Oh, I'm afraid to go to Jesus, I'm going to you, Mary. And she says, what are you doing that for? You know, Jesus is our Savior. Jesus came to save us by His blood. Why are you doing that? You see, Our Lady says, I live, now not I, Christ lives in me. And this powerful, divine man is the one working in me to be the intercessor. You understand? There's no competition. Everything she does because Christ lives in her and gives to her this unique role of being a universal intercessor in His power. He, working in her, is the intercessor. Now, this is a mystery that we can see in several places in the New Testament. One of the most beautiful is in Romans 8. You remember where Paul says, we don't know what to pray for as we ought, but the Holy Spirit comes to our aid. And He prays in us with unutterable groans. And he who reads the heart sees, that's the Father, sees this intercession and that it is according to the will of God because it is the Holy Spirit's work, right? Christian prayer, the Catechism tells us, is a divine work, right? Christian prayer is the work of God and man. It is the action of the Holy Spirit and ourselves, even us. Now, a few verses later, when Paul is talking about who could ever separate us from the love of Christ? Who's going to condemn us? Christ? He died for us. He rose for us. He's making intercession for us. And now we understand. The Holy Spirit will take the intercession of Christ, you see, and put it in our heart so that we too become intercessors. It's Christ in us. Go into the chapel someday and pray. I know you, that's not a new idea, but I mean, and begin to intercede and beg the Holy Spirit to come and take over your heart and put into your heart the intercession of Jesus. And then you'll understand. You may just come down here to this chapel and kneel down there or sit down there and just ache. You don't even know what you're interceding for, but you're interceding because the Holy Spirit is doing it in you. Now, that's a tiny glimpse of what goes on in this mystery of Mary's intercession. You see? Christ, by the Holy Spirit, is at work in her and adds this dimension to his own intercession. And so she is the mediatrix because Christ lives in her. We have another example in the New Testament, in Colossians 1:24. I rejoice now in my sufferings for you, making up in my own flesh what's wanting to the sufferings of Christ which, for the sake of his church, the sake of his body, which is the church. And what's going on there? That is, again, the sufferings of Christ being realized in Paul. There's nothing lacking to the sufferings of Christ, except that they have to exist in a human way. The sufferings of Christ in us. We talk about being the body of Christ. I don't know what we think. I guess the problem is we don't think much. But this is Jesus Christ, the incarnate Word of God. And we're agreeing to it. That's Mary's intercession. It's the intercession of Christ, you see, refracted, re-realized in her who is the queen of the whole universe. Well, why doesn't he just do it all himself? Because he's so generous. St. Thomas says, to deny that God causes to be causes, okay? God causes to be causes. If he didn't do that, he would be stingy. Because he could do that. And he does do that. Suppose you're standing on the sidewalk, and there's this hill, and there's a little baby playing out there, and the truck seems to be out of control and is coming down this way. You don't say, well, God runs everything. You better get here, God, and fix this. Do you? You run out and grab that child, don't you? Well, isn't God moving you? You can't breathe without God. So there is the Lord Christ saving that child in and through you. And you don't say, well, if Jesus is doing it, I don't have to do anything. Do you understand? So he causes us to be causes. And that doesn't mean that Jesus needs us. It means the opposite, that he is so generous. Here, be an intercessor with me. Cause like me. You know how it goes. You have somebody really sick, and you just start praying. You don't worry about the theology of it. You just know that you're supposed to pray and that God will hear your prayer. And because of your prayer, will heal this child. You know that. And you don't start to say, well, now, am I an intercessor? You know, when there's only one intercessor, Christ. You don't do that. You're too smart. Because the Holy Spirit is telling you, pray for your child. You understand? This is the mystery of how Jesus Christ, you see, shares his reality without ever being diminished. And the most perfect example is Mary, the Mother of God, who is our intercessor. And the Lord has appointed her to look after this whole new world. And boy, do we ever need it. That's why we honor her. And we honor her wonderfully. How nice that God would do this for us. And then we learn from that the call to intercede. Well, Jesus doesn't need me. Yeah, we know that. He doesn't need you. That's fine. You know, Jesus doesn't need me to save this baby. He'll come somehow and save it. No, he won't. He's going to cause you to cause the safety of that baby. So, today, we can be sure that Mary, the Mother of God, is praying. Let's join her. Well, will there be more intercession? Yeah, of course. This is for real. This isn't a game. Just like, well, if I don't go out and get that child, it's going to be killed. And it's perfectly obvious. You don't go through a discourse on God, the prime mover, and you just save that child. And it's the same way in this. So today, you can be sure that Mary, the Mother of God, with all the power of her love, she's the queen of the universe. That's not just the title we do in a burst of emotions. That's metaphysical. And now, let's join her, so that I live, now not I, Christ lives in me. I pray, now not I, Christ prays in me.